All right, welcome back in the Gary Sharp Show. Very fluid today with a lot of stuff going on. Again, normally you hear sound from Lincoln. You hear HCSF live at 12:30 on normal weeks because Nebraska is on break today and tomorrow. It is not a normal week, so the head coach will not speak until 2, so it'll be after we are done. And there's questions to be asked, including we still have our deal from last Monday, or was it last Monday? Last Tuesday. We took a listener question, and we've been told that it will be asked by somebody that is in attendance. All right, Brag and Bitch Monday. More of those in a bit, but first, here is Mr. Matt Verzal. Hello, Verz.
Hey, boys. How we doing?
Good. Little bye week. How'd it treat you?
I mean, it's, you know, more questions than answers, so it'll be interesting to see what goes on. But it was nice to. That's why it wasn't nice. I was making some bets, and I got busy at Paisan, so I went to submit, and I missed all the 11. And then we got busy again, and I missed all the 2s. And then I got busy again and I missed all the 5s. So much as gambling goes, and Hoskinson laughed at me when I told him the story last night when he was in, but I had 10 bets I liked. None of them submitted, all sitting in a pending folder. And I was 8-2 on my non-bet.
Ooh.
So I'm going to take a break from gambling.
Ooh. Yeah, there's
maybe that's a little sign from the gods. Pump your brakes.
It might be, or to save that money and invest elsewhere.
Where at? You got some Gary Sharp innovation that you're pawning off now?
No, I don't have anything concrete, but I'm just saying, sometimes you get signs from above.
Awesome, that Gary Sharp money. I want houses in Florida.
a house, not houses. A house.
Oh, we're playing coin. Sorry.
Yes.
One house.
Yes. All right. So,
sorry.
So now it's Indiana week, and it's 2 until the bye, and Indiana comes in. They're 5-2. And we're talking about Indiana this time of the year and not talking about what's going to go on inside of Assembly Hall. Instead, what's going on inside of their Memorial Stadium. The football team's pretty good. Their head coach has got a plan. They know exactly who they are. So we'll go a couple of different ways here, trying to diagnose some of the stuff that was said during the bye week. Something or nothing to you that the half-season most important players on offense and defense are newcomers. Something or nothing.
I would go nothing and give it a nod to your recruiting that's increased and you can have people that can come in and play right away.
Speaking of recruiting, because, you know, we get to you get midseason reports. Both major newspapers did a fine job in kind of breaking down the first 7 games, what happened, what needs to happen, what will happen in the future. And, you know, Scott got asked this last week about his scheme and can it work. And, you know, he's not going to change until he has everything in place for the scheme to run how he wants. And then if it doesn't work, maybe he'll adjust on the fly. But moving forward with the pieces that he has or maybe doesn't have for the last 5 games, do you expect this offense to look much different, a tweak here or there?
I would say yes. I mean, I think you have to do that. You have to tailor what you want to run. And the identity or the scheme or whatever anybody wants to call it can be a moving awesomer, but you can change that around. You've got to tailor things, though, to what you have talent-wise. I've asked for a long time just to get 6-8 plays you feel 100% comfortable with. You can run them out of a bunch of formations, but that way I know everything I can do, and you tailor that to the strength of your offensive line, to the strengths of your receiving core, to the restraints of your running backs, you know, and you get those guys in the best position to win. And now I eliminate any thinking. Now I'm just, all right, go play as hard as you can for the duration of the game, and let's do it.
What will happen more in the last 5 games, being able to run the ball or stop the run?
What's option C?
Same.
Oh, okay. All of the above. Run it better or stop the run? Well, you've got some pretty vaunted running attacks coming at you, although one looked a little more human over the weekend. I am going to go with stop the run. because you have three senior defensive linemen who have dreams of making money on Sunday, and you get a live tryout of guys that are pretty translatable to the NFL level. If you show out and show up in those, you can pad your wallet.
Do you think that becomes more? Do you think that becomes more of a chatter point among fellas that are seniors or juniors with eligibility to leave, that you could use the last five games as a paycheck?
Right now, with the way things are going, yes, I think that's a very valid point that would be talked about.
But that's scary as a head coach or a position coach, right?
Oh, scare you to death. Scare the living bejesus out of you. But everybody's motivated in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have that dream or talk about wanting to play in the NFL. You know, I tongue-in-cheek laughed at Lamar Jackson in the preseason when he was talking about it. I'm going to make my plays. I'm going to get my interceptions. I'm going to get da-da-da.
Yep.
Inside of the scheme of the defense was what he would always finish up with. And I thought it was funny. You can have that vision, have that goal, but being coachable, being a teammate, being a max effort guy,
mm-hmm.
all things that fit into what Frost wants to accomplish, they all go hand in hand. You just got to drink juice and make sure you're doing your thing.
At this point, 19 games in, and this was after we talked last Monday, are you over the word buy-in, or are you will never be over the word buy-in? It should always be part of a program.
I'm over it, me having to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not over the fact that I don't feel it's 100% there. Because with buy-in or acceptance or whatever you want to call it, you don't have three guys in the same gap. When you're trying to play a team like Minnesota, you have one guy in their proper position. If you're all bought in, hesitating on your first initial read steps, as an offensive lineman, read steps is probably a bad term, but your initial momentum steps, hesitating on those isn't an issue anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in 100%, you're sold out, you're going. I trust my teammate to be in. If he's a C-gap player, he's going to be in C-gap. If I'm a B-gap player, I'm going to be in B-gap. Because that cost Nebraska more than anything in that game. Was not trusting their guys. If I'm supposed to be the backside, you know, I'm the cutback player, I'm going to play the cutback. I'm not going to run over the top and let them cut back and go for 20 extra yards. If I'm bought in, I'm going to do what I'm told as an offensive lineman. I'm going to do it in an aggressive manner with an intent to harm. I'm not going to do it passively and play patty cake and get trucked. You know, by a defense mm-hmm. line. So those are things I think are still hang-ups. Eventually, that will all move to a change of expectation. We don't have buy-in anymore. This is our expectation every day.
Mm-hmm.
Our expectation of how we play the game.
Do you see, and maybe this is more on the offensive line, do you see guys that are trying to do their job and somebody else's job because they don't trust that they'll be in the right spot?
100%. 100%. It's hard to go out and try to play perfect. It's hard to go out and say, I have to be so precise that I've got to block my guy and then hopefully I can get a shot at his guy too because he's going to miss.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust him to do that. That's tough. And it gets you trucked and it gets you rolled and it gets you on the bench. You know, if you go out and you do your job to the best of your ability, you trust the guy next to you, now it gets different. Right, but I think there's still some issues there that they don't fully either believe in themselves or believe in something else there because you can see it. Guys who were uber aggressive last year are tentative this year. Guys that were serviceable at positions last year, you're hoping they take that next step, look very mediocre right now. You know, average to mediocre. When you know there's more talent in them, it's just something there isn't quite right, and they had a week to figure it out.
Yeah.
They had a week to get right, and get everybody healthy, and you know they needed to get away from each other, which I still don't understand, get away from each other. Or if you need to get in there and you need to bond and you need to do a bunch of group team-building activities, bringing the Riggins guy back in, you do some stuff, and trust falls and whatever those may be. But you're putting your success in that guy next to his hand. He's got to accept that. They got to want you to succeed more than they want themselves to succeed. Until that point, you get what you get.
Any takeaways if you're Nebraska and you're watching Illinois as a 4+ touchdown underdog beat Wisconsin? If you're Nebraska, is any takeaways for you from watching that game?
you get your ass together and you play hard, you could win. There's no fancy way around it. You just go play hard. Illinois didn't have any grandiose scheme. They had the same successes against Nebraska that they had against Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
But you bear down, you figure it out, and you go play. And all you got to do, listen, if you can play hard and do your job, just do your job. Schemes are sound. What did Illinois do? They did. They Mikey from Rounder did it. They just hung around and hung around and hung around.
Well, another part.
And Wisconsin QB makes a bad mistake, and you go and win.
Well, another thing is Wisconsin found a team that just couldn't run the ball down their throats.
Mm-hmm. Right. For sure. And then they didn't know what to do.
All right, we'll get you out of here.
Put the game in the hands of the Wisconsin quarterback, you're going to have a chance to win, I'll just tell you. Until that young kid gets in there, he's a dud slung on the pool.
Well, that became a case of Paul Chris forgot at key moments, not just that drive that resulted in the interception at the end of the game, but other moments of that game. He forgot that he had Jonathan Taylor in the backfield.
It's offensive coordinators, man. They think they're the freaking smartest people in the world. When it gets down to nut cutting, run the basics. Put your bell cow in the line of scrimmage, 4 yards pop, Bohica, stop me, we win.
And you would think, okay, so everything is hindsight now. But even if you run the ball on third and five there, where the third down was the interception, let's say you do get stuffed, you still punt it away. I think you have enough faith in your defense that Illinois, with that vaunted offense, isn't going to drive the field on you to get a field goal.
Well, you say how much money you bet on Illinois going 80-plus or going 45-plus to kick a 41-yard field goal. I mean, do what you do. Be happy about it.
I'm with you, and it seems like there's one kind of that type of game once a year for Wisconsin.
I 100% agree. 100% agree with that. And the degenerate gambler in me just always misses when that one is.
Hey, we'll get chatter on this. So I'm going to get into this a little bit as we move along today. But as now Nebraska plays Indiana off of a bye, with everything that swirled around last week, whatever's swirling around now in terms of who's going to play and who's not going to play, you're an underdog against a team that's trying to get bowl eligible before you are, and their name is Indiana. What's the cold, hard facts about this game? What's the truth about this game from a Nebraska perspective?
That if you want to take the next step, if you want to be what you think you are an underdog to Indiana at home. Like every person on that team should be upset about that. Okay, every person should take that as a personal slap in the face that the University of Indiana, in the mind of the smart people in Vegas, who they're smart, view you as less than.
Mm-hmm.
They view you as a team, as a dog to Indiana at home. And if you don't take that personal, then you got other problems. Because it pisses. I haven't been involved in university in 25 years, but it pisses me off. Because that's my alma mater. That's my school. That's my blood. That's what I love. Okay. So if you aren't pissed off, and if you can't go play that game max effort, 100 miles an hour for four quarters, then maybe you need to get gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I expect dudes out there playing hard, playing fast, and just go have some fun. If you screw up, who cares? Just screw up going 100 miles an hour. You might hit somebody. Your athlete or back might make a great play and get up to second level, and he bails you out like you bailed him out before. That's what teamwork is about. That's what brotherhood is about. That's what all that buzzword is about. Go play hard. Be pissed off that they disrespect you in your house, that you're a two-point dog to Indy freaking Anna. Come on now. If that don't make you pissed, I don't want to be around you.
I'm with you. I expect there better be a lot of energy out of the locker room for that game. If not, what the hell were you doing the last week off?
I'm betting Nebraska this week, I'll tell you. Give me the two, because we're going to win by 14.
All right, just don't get busy on Saturday. Get it in.
It's a win.
All right. Well, no, I'm with you. Everything you said about what's the truth about this game, there's a lot coming out of the bye week that I think everybody's going to be looking at, and they're going to have a lot of eyes on the head coach to see how he's handled this week. I think they'll respond in kind.
All right, well, I'm putting my money down. I'm going to wait and see, because I'm in wait and see mode.
So. All right, well, you know.
I like your confidence more than mine.
Don't have something sitting in pending, all right?
Man, God, stupid gambling. I'd probably be retired if I didn't gamble.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that are very happy that you're not.
I know.
All right, Verz.
One guy mainly.
So Matt Verzal joins us every Monday. Don't forget Husker Hangover here on The Zone coming up on Sunday from 9 to 11 post-Indiana. That's right. If you didn't hear yesterday, you didn't see the Lions. Indiana's a favorite in Lincoln. Not in basketball, football. Talking about football, not basketball. Not Tom Crean, Calvin Sampson, Mike Davis, Bobby Knight. No, we're talking about Tom Allen and Indiana being a favorite. Now, Indiana's respectable. They're going for bowl eligibility. They've made an investment into football. I'll tell you a big reason where I saw they made the biggest investment that said, okay, they're in it. They're not just having something fill time until basketball rolls around. They've made a financial investment in football with a coach that's got a plan. I've always been a big fan of Tom Allen. Go to Chicago, media days. No one knows who Tom Allen is when he walks in a room. Then he sits down and he talks to you and you go, wow, boy, if he could do it at Indiana, just think of where he could go. Well, they're 5-2. They're rolling into Lincoln as a favorite. Again, if you're just tuning in to the Gary Sharp Show, a little bit of an adjustment today. They push back the head coach speaking in Lincoln. He won't talk until 2. Nothing of alarm. There's no school in Lincoln today. So they've kind of pushed back everything. But that doesn't mean that we will push back this program. We got questions that we'd like asked and answered coming up later today. When we come back, we'll shift gears because tomorrow night is Game 1 of the World Series. I think it's going to be a great World Series between Washington and Houston. Mike Oz from Yahoo Sports joins us next on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.